concerning his guidance of the children of Israel. This is Exodus 23, verse 20 to 21. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep and guard you on the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Give heed to him, listen to and obey his voice. Don't be rebellious before him or provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. My name is in him. In other words, God is saying, my very presence is in him. This angel represents me. Now turn with me to Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your holy presence here today. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence in us today. And I pray that the very words of my mouth will be pleasing and enriching to you and your church. Amen. Every now and then, something reminds me of a beautiful letter which was written for City View Church in December of 2009. That's 7 years ago. This letter was written by a man named Barry Powell. Who remembers Barry Powell? Who attended City View Church while holidaying in Perth for a number of months, possibly 6 to 8 months, I think. He was brought to this church by a family who then attended, and he became born again while he was with us. He would have been in his late 60s, early 70s, when Jesus touched him in a very real way, and his life was transformed in just a short period of time. He was an interesting man, intelligent, great sense of humour, and a little quirky. Daniel went four-wheel driving with Barry and his brother, and they stopped to buy an ice cream. Daniel decided he wasn't in the mood for one, but a little while later, when Barry was eating ears, he offered Daniel a lick of his ice cream. You really thought that was funny, and you could just, that was so Barry. Before leaving City View Church to return home to the eastern states by car, Barry slipped me this letter, which really touched my heart. Now, this was probably the last letter Barry ever wrote, because on the way home, Barry stopped his vehicle, more than likely to let his dog out for a stretch, and somehow Barry and his dog wandered too far away from his car. He got lost and died of exposure in the harsh terrain. By the time this church was alerted and praying for Barry's safe return, the truth was he'd already died. This was it for Barry. His time was up, his number was called, and he went home to glory to be with his newly found saviour. So that was good. And so this letter was like a swan song to the kingdom. This is Barry Powell's personal experience at City View Church. He says, when I first came to interact with the church community, I gradually came to realize that the difference between this community and others is the members of this community are as rocks to themselves and to others, like rock solid, a rock of faith, a safe place to stand, etc. Each one is also like a sweet lolly rock. Yes, I make no mistake, you are all sweet, kind, and loving. But the main similarity is that no matter where you bite a stick of rock, the name of the rock is there throughout the whole suite. It is no longer just a name, a hat put on, or an adjunct, but has been integrated into and become part of the rock. This community has integrated Christianity into themselves so that they are not, for example, John, who is a Christian, but a Christian called John. And Christianity is a part of them and influences their thoughts and actions at all times. And this makes them very different and very special. So I want to pray that God blesses this church and makes it grow and prosper. And end this prayer with an amen, which means so be it. Not a goal for the future, but already an ongoing process. God bless this church and make it grow and prosper. Amen. Barry Powell, December 2009. When I read this again this week, I realised this isn't just a little note to the church to make us feel warm and fuzzy, and yes, it does. There is more. It goes much deeper. In fact, this beautiful message, I believe, is a precious prophetic word for this church, which we need to be reminded of. So, church, I'm going to read it again, and I want you to listen very closely again. When I first came to interact with the church community, I gradually came to realize that the difference between this community and others is the members of this community are as rocks to themselves and to others. Like rock solid, a rock of faith, a safe place to stand, etc. Each one is also like a sweet lolly rock. Yes, I make no mistake, you are all sweet, kind and loving. But the main similarity is that no matter where you bite a stick of rock, the name of the rock is then there throughout the whole suite. It is no longer just a name, a hat put on, or an adjunct, but has been integrated into and become a part of the rock. This community has integrated Christianity into themselves so that they are not, for example, John, who is a Christian, but a Christian called John. And Christianity is a part of them and influences their thoughts and actions at all times. And this makes them very different and very special. So I want to pray that God blesses this church and makes it grow and prosper. And end this prayer with an amen, which means so be it. Not a goal for the future, but already an ongoing process. God bless this church and make it grow and prosper. There is so much in Barry's message which evokes thought. But there's one word in particular which demands discussion. And the word is adjunct. Sounds like I'm sneezing, doesn't it? Adjunct. Everyone say adjunct. Barry said, concerning the Christians within this church, each one is like a sweet lolly rock. Yes, I make no mistake, you are sweet, kind and loving. But the main similarity is that no matter where you bite a stick of rock, the name of the rock is there throughout the whole suite. It is no longer just a name, a hat put on or an adjunct, but has been integrated into and become a part of the rock. This community has integrated Christianity into themselves so that they are not, for example, John, who is a Christian, but a Christian called John. And Christianity is a part of them and influences their thoughts and actions at all times, and this makes them very different and very special. The name of Jesus is no longer an adjunct. Christianity is no longer an adjunct. An adjunct, what is it? What is it? Sounds good. Was that you, Mark, that said that? Well done. A thing added to something else as a supplementary rather than an essential part. Something added to another thing, but not an essential part of it. An adjunct is also a person who is an assistant or a subordinate to another. An appendage, something attached to something else in a subordinate capacity. A person associated with another in a subordinate position. Barry, in using this word, adjunct, She said it over there. Thank you for that, Belinda. Well done. Is saying these people don't just have Jesus as an added attachment, but rather Jesus has become an integral part of them. And therefore the mind of Christ influences their actions. I like that. This is one of the most beautiful compliments that could be given to a church. Do you know that? It's wonderful. Jesus isn't an adjunct or an attachment, but he is an integral part of who we are. That's beautiful. But folk, I believe it's something we need to continually work on throughout our lives. And therefore, I use Barry's observation in a prophetic manner, because this church is on a journey, and there is so much more for us to do and accomplish for his kingdom. I look back on the history of this group of people, and I say, wow, look what God has done. And yet, I have a strong sense that God still wants to do so much more with us as we continue to personally grow and become more influenced by his love and by his grace and by his word, which is in us. We must allow God to continue to increase in us, and we must fight against the fleshly urge to diminish the influence of Christ until he becomes just an adjunct, till he becomes something just added, but not an essential part, making Christ an assistant, a subordinate to our whims and desires. Christ is not an adjunct. He will not be a subordinate to you. He is not your assistant. This is not Christianity. All the way through the Bible, God has wrestled with his people in this area. Has anyone heard of the word syncretism? Syncretism. What is syncretism? Syncretism is a fusion of differing systems of belief. This is most evident in the areas of philosophy and religion, and usually results in a new teaching or belief system emerging. Religious syncretism often takes place when foreign beliefs are introduced to an indigenous belief systems and the teachings are blended. The new mixed religion then takes a shape of its own. This has been seen most clearly in Roman Catholic missionary history. Take, for example, the Roman Catholic Church, in their attempt to convert the animistic South American Indians, threatened with the fear of death, natives were baptized into the church by the tens of thousands without any preaching of the gospel whatsoever. Former animistic temples were demolished, with Catholic shrines and chapels being built on the spot. Natives were allowed to substitute praying to saints instead of gods of water, earth, and air, and replaced their former idols with new images of the Roman Catholic Church. Yet, the animistic religion the natives had formerly practiced was never fully replaced. Who's seen some of those parades that they do in Mexico? And you can see a little bit of Christianity there somewhere, but there's an awful lot of strange stuff happening. And you think, where did they get that one from in the Bible? Well, this is what happened. The animistic religions the natives have formerly practiced were never fully replaced. It was adapted into Catholic teachings. And this new belief system was allowed to flourish. More recently, religious syncretism can be seen in such religious systems as the New Age, Hinduism, and Christian Science. These religions are a blending of multiple different belief systems and are continually evolving as the philosophies of mankind rise and fall in popularity. Therein lies the problem, for syncretism relies on the whim of man, not the standard of Scripture. The Bible makes it very clear what true religion is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Religious syncretism is simply not compatible with true Christianity. In fact, any modification to biblical law and principle for the sake of a better religion is heresy. Christ cannot be added to your system of beliefs, whatever they may be, whatever they may involve. Christ must become your system of belief. And he must infiltrate and affect every area of your life. Christianity and star signs don't mix. So don't you dare ask me what month I was born in for the purpose of finding out my star sign. It doesn't mix. Christianity and numerology don't mix. And this next one might upset a few people, but here goes. Christianity and yoga meditation don't mix. Who brought about yoga meditation? It is based on a Himalayan Buddhist priest. It's wrong. The only meditation I want to know about is what the Word of God speaks. And by the way, meditation came from the Bible, the Word of God. Read what Psalm 1 says about meditation. You can sit all day long thinking about your inward self and it won't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is sitting and thinking about the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. That brings satisfaction. That brings peace. That brings joy. There is nothing on my own in myself that could possibly help me. But me coming through Jesus and Jesus coming through me, I find everlasting joy. God completes me. God fills me. God restores me. Meditate on God and his word. I was talking with Luke today on the way to church this morning, and there's a movie that I saw, and it was a space movie. What was it called? Pardon? No. A movie we talked about this morning. Thank you. He remembers everything he talks to me about. Space Galaxy Quest is a comedy. Yeah, Galaxy Quest. And in it, this fellow has got to drive this big spaceship out of this space portal, and he's trying to drive it for the first time in his life. It's a stupid movie, but it really makes you laugh. And as he's driving it, he's going skew-whiff, and everybody in the place where he's driving is going like this, with their bodies to try and make him move away from the wall and drive it through properly. But the whole spacecraft brushes against the wall and you've got metal on metal going, And there's this great big scratch along the metal of the spacecraft, and it's really very funny, and the sound is really irritating. The sound of metal on metal, who likes that? Well, that's what star signs do to me. You know, when I've been at work in the teaching field and teachers are sitting there talking about yoga meditation, and it's like I'm going on the inside. And then when some Christian comes and tells me that they've been to the yoga class and meditate, who else gets that feeling when you hear stuff? You hear it on television, all sorts of, and you just don't see it right, because it's wrong. Yeah? It's wrong. In Him, we must live and move and have our being. It doesn't get much closer than that for us. In fact, the scripture leaves no room for any false god or philosophy. None. Anything that's not in here is not worth looking at. And people might just deviate slightly to begin with in their philosophy, just a little bit off the word. But as you keep traveling, the gap gets bigger and bigger. Your philosophy should be the word of God. Your system of belief should be the word of God. And you know what? You need to make that clear with your family and friends and work colleagues. This is what you believe. Stop tiptoeing around. And Vicky said that she heard a sermon the other day, and this preacher said, you need to come out of the closet because everybody else is. Well, I think Christians need to come out of the closet and let people know that this is the way to live. Not any other way that the systems of the world is telling us. And they might sound fancy, but they're not the truth. This is our guidance to life. We don't just include God in our day. He is our day. It is all about Him. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So often people within the church might struggle and become frustrated with wanting to see the miracles of the New Testament. Maybe we don't see them because in the Western church, Christ is more an adjunct and an added religion, attacked on belief for an eternal insurance policy rather than being the way, the truth, and the life. We need to see God right through our day in everything we do. He is there. And if He is not, then maybe you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. You might need to adjust your thinking. Tweak your patterns of behavior to make it about Him. Let us not be people led by our emotions. And that's what the world is, isn't it? Or selfish desires, but let us always consider what God wants in every situation. And how do you know what God wants? You've got to read the Word. What would Jesus do? This isn't about me, it is about Him and His glory. I read a marvelous scripture the other day, which reached out and slapped me in the face, like so many of them do. And I'm coming close to an end now, so listen. Pay attention. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Another translation says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So, Cityview Church, let us take heed of this old prophecy by becoming even sweeter sticks of candy rock, with the name of Jesus printed all the way through. And just in case you are wondering what I'm talking about, Brent, Adam, are you ready? When I say a stick of rock, we're going to give you a little piece of rock right now. Go for it, men. Go for it. Now, before you put it in your gobs, have a look. Have a look at the design on the front and on the back. It goes all the way through. We've got little ladybugs. The children's church have got little monkeys, and they've got sugar-free rock candy. How you get that, I don't know. I thought that's what it was sugar. But anyway, we have got the real stuff, because I thought us adults could handle it. You might get a little hyperactive afterwards. But have a look. The ladybug goes all the way through. Do you realise I searched the whole of Perth to get this jolly rock candy? I ended up having to go into Perth to Piccadilly Arcade. That's where it is. So have a look at it and see that the pattern goes all the way through. It's beautiful. Has everyone got it? Yes, you can eat it. What, have you looked at it?
Yes.
Don't eat it before you looked at it. Yeah, it's beautiful. And that's what the name of Jesus should be to us, written all the way through. Whenever we get a bite from someone, whenever Satan comes along and attacks us, what should he see? The name of Jesus. When someone out there at work says something to us and we're going to retort, what should they see? The name of Jesus. When our kids get up our nose or our grandchildren, what should they see? Not the fist. Or maybe. The name of Jesus. You discipline how Jesus would want you to discipline. You love how Jesus would want you to love. You treat people how Jesus would want you to treat them. Wherever you get bitten, we need to see Jesus. Amen? Is that a nice piece of rock candy? Like, it's really nice. You can say, some people just crunch straight into it because they get so excited. But if you suck it, it's just a beautiful piece of rock candy. Jesus is not an adjunct. He is not an attachment. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he lives in me. So let's keep this testimony going. What do you reckon? Let's keep it going. Don't let go of Christ in you. And I'm glad you're tinkling away at that, because I thought we should sing Give Me Jesus to finish off this service. So please stand with me. Come forward, singers, as well.